translation, immediately forgetting Yogamaya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yashoda took her son on her lap as before, feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Mother Yashoda regarded the vision of the universal form within Krishna's mouth as an arrangement of Yogamaya, like a dream. As one forgets everything after a dream, Mother Yashoda immediately forgot the entire incident. As her natural feeling of affection increased, she decided to herself, "Now let this incident be forgotten. I do not mind. Here is my son. Let me kiss him." Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So here we see Mother Yashoda is kissing Krishna. So sometimes Srila Prabhupada appeared, as we know, Navishesha Shunyavadi Prashachadesha Tarane, to get rid of impersonalism and avoidism. So here we see Mother Yashoda kissing her small child and being very personal. And I was here a little while ago in Kartik, and there was one little tiny Indian-bodied, I don't know whether he or she was a boy or a girl, I think it was a boy, but he had the kunja on his eyes. And we were doing Dhammarastika and praying to Lord Damodar, and this boy was wandering around and wasn't able to walk very well. But he was sort of, you know, like it says in the Bhagavatam, the footsteps of the children when they're very small are very adorable, and their broken voice. And so he was wandering around in the sort of semi-darkness, and he was looking very, extremely cute. So we can imagine how wonderful and gorgeous and heart-attracting Krishna is, especially in this form, as described in Dhammarastika, his childhood pastimes, grabbing hold of the back end of calves' tails and going through the mud. And there's that lovely picture of Mother Yashoda welcoming, greeting Krishna back as he runs back from the cowherd pastures. So here, Mother Yashoda has realized that Krishna's Krishna, he's God, he's maintaining, created, and annihilating ultimately everything, and is in charge of everything, floating every planet, and his amazing, vast, inconceivable energies. But she doesn't want that. She just wants to see my little baby, and I want to kiss my little baby, Krishna. So this is the nature of love that we become, our awe and reverence disappears, and we become naturally affectionate. So this is actually Goloka Vrindavan, that Krishna and his associates are enjoying an extremely intimate, loving, friendly, beautiful way. So this is what Srila Prabhupada has brought us through. I was asked to give a class about book distribution, so I'm going to relate some of it to book distribution. But I'm going to stay to Krishna. So Krishna is... I've forgotten what I was saying. What was it just before I said an excuse for book distribution? What was the last point? Yeah, the spiritual world. Thank you, Manaji. So in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada has actually given us this highest a realm. So in our own lives, we can try and apply this. I was in Germany, and there was some Sri Vaishnavas at the temple. There's not that many German-bodied devotees in... I'm German-bodied. Indian-bodied devotees in Germany, but there's the few that are there. The ones who visit the temple are Sri Vaishnavas. And of course, Lord Nrisimha's there looking magnificent and opulent, and the Sri Vaishnavas are coming and offering their respects and obeisances, which is absolutely fantastic. There's no criticism, there's no fault in their part at all. But somehow or other, Srila Prabhupada has brought us this most intimate planet, Goloka Vrindavan, and brought it to us to experience. So we can try and try to apply this principle in our own lives and actually try and treat each other with the same love and affection that the devotees in Gokula are actually relating to one another. So this, here we see Mother Yashoda just is giving up any opulence, any reverence, any, he's just my little baby and he's my little. So this is what we're trying to understand, and we should try and practice a little bit at least, that the cowherd boys are doing all sorts of things. They're telling Krishna to open his mouth because they're going to give him a nice sweet, and they put a flower in, and there's a description of one gopa being thrown into the mud, and there's this noise that he goes into the mud, and then Krishna laughs at the noise, so they just keep throwing him in. So this is actually the highest opulence, these simple pastimes of fun. So when we do book distribution, then this is the mood we try to emulate, and we try to give that experience of friendship and uncomplicated, free from distance and awe and reverence, but we try to try to involve others in that simple, loving mood of being friendly. So this is where we're also nibbling at the Majjhim platform. We're trying to be friendly. We're trying to be friendly to the devotees. We're trying to preach. This is all very good for our spiritual life, that we're trying to become that kind friend to all living entities, that ever well-wisher that Srila Prabhupada set that example. So this book distribution is a way to bring, as Srila Prabhupada brought Goloka Vrindavan to us, this is a means by which we can bring Goloka Vrindavan to the general masses. And they're not aware, you know, we've all experienced, the devotees here, all of them have gone out on book distribution probably. If not, I'd recommend everyone to try, even if they don't feel qualified, just to go out and try is actually very nice, because it's just you and Krishna. It's a very nice way of surrendering to, or being relying and depending on Krishna, because we can't do anything ourselves. So this loving exchange that we're trying to emulate is actually what Srila Prabhupada bought. Srila Prabhupada bought that. And all the devotees that met Srila Prabhupada and associated with him, they all say the same thing. They could feel the affection and the warmth coming from Srila Prabhupada, and actually the love coming from Prabhupada. And that was the thing that really sustained them and attracted them to him. So this Goloka Vrindavan is a very high and lofty concept. But actually, that's what Srila Prabhupada bought. And that's what book distribution really is. We're sharing that pleasure that we have in our Krishna consciousness with others. So how can we share that pleasure with others if we don't get it ourselves? So our first priority, this is where selflessness and selfishness meet. Our first priority is to make ourselves Krishna conscious and make ourselves happy in Krishna consciousness. So there's two priorities according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He describes as a primary activity and a secondary activity. And does anyone here know the primary activity of devotional service? I'm sure you all do, but thank you, Mataji. Hearing and chanting, Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaranam. And the secondary process, or second priority, it's more difficult, but everyone knows it. It's just the way I've asked the question. Huh? Yes, yeah, keeping clean. Giving it to others, preaching. No, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I mean, that is, definitely. But in the sense I'm looking for a particular answer. So, but it's true, preaching is once you have something to give, then you can give it. You have to get it first. So the first is to get it yourself, and the second is to give. So yes. But so the second is, the secondary activity, yes, Manaji? Yeah, it's part of it. Part of it. But in general, it's our guna and our karma, and our ashram and our occupation, and all, these are all secondary activities. So we have to establish ourselves properly in our right ashram, establish ourselves properly in our right vana. So once we've established that, then the idea is once you're peaceful and happy in your material life, then you can peacefully and serve Krishna. So that's the secondary activity. So when the secondary activity becomes more important than the first activity of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, then that becomes useless. Vanashram without Krishna is actually useless. So, but without the Vanashram, you can't serve Krishna unless you're Sukadev Goswami or a pure devotee. So we need to establish ourselves properly in our material situation in life in order to be peaceful to serve Krishna. Now, if we put ourselves nicely in our material frame of a material situation, then and we forget Krishna, then what's the point? But if we try to serve Krishna, now no offense meant to any new devotees here, but when I joined, it was just serving Krishna and everything will just work out. And there's no need to do anything else. But then after some years, you realize, hang on a second, I might need to, you know, change my ashram, or I might need to facilitate, I might need to live in a room with two devotees instead of 18 devotees, or I may need to have a hot shower in the morning with a shower that works instead of a cold shower, or I may need to eat prasadam that's cooked fresh in the morning, not from 3 days ago that I cooked a big bowl and now I'm just eating a little bit every day for the week. Or whatever, I think we've all experienced some of the things we did when we joined. I remember one devotee telling me many years ago, I asked him just here in the corridor, I say, how are you, Prabhu? He said, materially, everything's fantastic. I'm doing very well. I don't know whether the devotee remembers the conversation. He said, materially, I'm doing very well, but spiritually, I'm. He was being very successful. I think he was in somewhere anyway, doing something. But so the point is that this material situation has to be there, but it's second to the principle of our direct devotional service. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he uses the expression Jiva Dharma. The Dharma of the soul is actually Sanatana Dharma. But this material Dharma has to be there for the conditioned soul. But the material Dharma has to be in direct connection to Krishna. Otherwise, as we know from many slokas in Bhagavad Gita, it's actually useless. So here we see Mother Yashoda is fully engaged in her Jiva Dharma, being an eternal liberated soul. So this is our goal, to be in this mood of Krishna only. So book distribution is a very nice way of at least for a month a year, or for a few hours in a day, or for one day, to go out and understand that actually giving this Krishna consciousness to others is the same activity as Srila Prabhupada did when he came from the spiritual world to try and deliver us from this material world. And one time, one devotee, Rameshwar Prabhu, mentioned to devotees in a class or in a newsletter that it's just like picking flowers. Sankirtan is like picking flowers and then making a garland and offering that to Krishna. So the devotees were a little skeptical. They thought it was a little bit too esoteric and still a bit, maybe a little sahaja-ish. And so then they approached Prabhupada and said, Rameshwar Prabhu is saying that this, you know, we're just picking flowers on Sankirtan and it's all flower power and, you know, we're making a nice garland and we're giving it to Krishna and, you know, it's a little bit. So Prabhupada said, no, that's what we're doing on Sankirtan. So a nice meditation when we're going out is to see everyone as flowers, and actually we're picking them and offering them to Krishna. So this is actually what we're doing. We're engaging in that same activity. So there's like a line on Sankirtan I've found personally where if you're slightly below that line, then no one stops and no one gives a contribution. But if you're slightly above the line, then people can start giving, and there's a reciprocation, there's a nice. So when we're doing Sankirtan, we can understand if people aren't stopping, there's no interaction with the people, there's no like warmth and friendliness, and we're feeling no connection, then we may be just below that line, but we don't realize it. So what happens generally with devotees is that when we're below that line, then we go a little further down and down and down because we get depressed that people don't give. But if we can somehow or other through the holy name, through prayer, through philosophy, re-establish ourselves in our own Krishna consciousness, then we can again engage others. So this Sankirtan is such a nice method of practically applying the philosophy. When we're standing there on the street or in a shop or in a business or in a shopping mall with a next bag in our hand, pretending to be shoppers, then if we're not shopping very well, people aren't stopping nicely, then we have to go back immediately to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and then that philosophy will again reestablish us in our Krishna consciousness. And what is that philosophy? That we're not the enjoyers, we're not the controllers. Ishvara Hamba Hambogi. And who's the controller? It's Krishna. So we pray to Krishna, please Krishna, help me. Help. It's like Draupadi, you know. She's there and she's saying, there's a nice story, actually I heard a little bit more detail about that story. Rukmini's with Krishna in Dwarka, and Draupadi has got her arms up in the air, and Rukmini is saying, you should go and help her, you know, she's about to be derobed, you know. And Krishna said, yes, I will help. And then she says, Krishna, 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 and Krishna doesn't come, because she's praying for Krishna, but oh no, she's holding on, right? She's saying, Krishna, Krishna, one arm. And she's holding on, and Krishna's going, yeah, she's calling me, I hear her, but she's not really calling me. She's like, Krishna, Krishna, help. And then she puts both arms up, and then Krishna says, well, she's, you know, she's a little bit more serious now. I will come, so we're not right now. So then it's described that she starts to cry, Krishna, you know, I need you now. This is it, you know, I need you. And she starts crying. And it's described that Krishna entered through her tear, because she had a sincere tear of dependence and begging Krishna, please come. So similarly, on the street, when we pray to Krishna, help, you know, Krishna, I'm fried. I got up, I chanted my rounds, I'm following the principles, I went to Bhagavatam class, I took prasadam, Krishna, come on, I need some mercy, I'm your servant, come on, help. So that's, and Krishna says, yeah, I hear you, but you know. So then we say, okay, Krishna, you know, you're the controller, I'm just a servant, help, come on. You know, I've been doing this for years, come on, you know, come on, give me some mercy. I need the mercy, you know, it's me, come on, give me some mercy. And he says, well, not bad. But it's like, Krishna, you know, I'm just, you know, please, you know, please. You know, I just can't do anything without you. My life is useless without you. My endeavors are useless without you. It's all for you. You want these souls back to Godhead. I'm just trying to be an instrument. Please, just help. And when there's some sincere prayer, then Krishna, that's when he comes. You can't cheat Krishna. He knows when we're sincere. He knows when we need help, when we're being sincere. And then what happens is we take shelter of Krishna and he's happy. And the more we take shelter, the more we know on Sankirtan, the more we take shelter, the more he gives us some Shakti to engage the conditioned souls. And that internal energy, that yoga maya that, in fact, it's interesting. I don't really understand why. We can maybe discuss it after the class. But Mother Yashoda regarded the vision of the funeral of the universe of four within Krishna as an arrangement of yoga maya, like a dream. Anyway, a little too esoteric for me. But practically on Sankirtan, we feel that energy is coming and we feel that help. Then we can understand that's Krishna. And the more we try to attain that, the more we're trying to attain Krishna. So in this way, our Krishna consciousness becomes increasingly Krishna conscious. So this Sankirtan is a fantastic way of practically understanding the philosophy and really absorbing ourselves in Krishna. So the main reason we come into the material world... Can anyone tell me the main reason we come into the material world? It's the same devotees. Let's have some other devotees. Anyone would like to hazard a guess? I think you all know, but I'm looking for a particular answer, so you might be wrong. Independence, yeah? Yeah? Prabhu? Enjoying, controlling, yeah, that's the one I wanted. Independence, same thing. So this reason we come into the material world is because we want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So we find on the street that if you're wanting to enjoy separately from Krishna, hey, we can have a good time with the people. Hey, we're doing a drive from 9 to 5. I won't use that line, actually. Sorry, Hare Krishna. We're trying to enjoy with the people. Then immediately what happens? And we just lose our Shakti. And if we try to enjoy with the opposite sex, then we lose our Shakti. If we're not engaging directly to try and engage the person and give them Srila Prabhupada's books, then immediately we lose our focus, we lose our Shakti, we can't do it. So this Sangatan is such a wonderful means of getting rid of this Ishwara Bhav. Of course, it can work the opposite way. If you're quite a good salesman, you've got some good karma, then you can use your karmic ability in Krishna's service. But all the devotees know here, there's one very good friend of mine, he's not here, but he lives here sometimes. And he's extremely good salesman. But then sometimes it just... He's still got the same lines, got the same... He does this thing when he meets people on the street, instead of stopping them, he gives them, hey, give me a bit of skin. And he does this whole rap with them, you know. And you probably know who it is now. But even if you have all that salesman ability, it doesn't work, because Krishna will take it away if you think you're the doer. But if you use it thinking Krishna's the doer, that mentality changes and you put the Lord in the center, then everything works. It's like you can go up to people and say, hey, you look just like my cousin from Italy, huh? But if you haven't got the right mentality, even if you say that, which is one of the most endearing approaching lines from anyone I think could ever come up with, but if you're in bad consciousness, it doesn't work, huh? He's not shaking his head, so it works all the time. It works all the time, okay. You've ruined my philosophical point. So, everyone has a particular personality and an individual way of doing things. So some devotees, like we were on the street in Nottingham, and there was three or four devotees there. One devotee had this really good, slick sales ability. And another devotee was from India, and his lines, not his first language, so it's not so clear what he's saying. But he says something which is super clear. He says, this book will help to control your mind and make you peaceful. And because he's peaceful and he's controlled his mind, the words hit you like a hammer. So he's using his personality in Krishna's service. He's using what he's been given by Krishna for Krishna. And then another devotee is doing a whole, you know, ba-na-da-da-da. And that's working for him because he's using it. So we're all individuals. And Sankirtan is a very wonderful place to develop your relationship and your individuality and your personality in Krishna's service. So when you try to help, encourage, or train, or whatever, serve the Sankirtan devotees, and you see that so many devotees, they're all different. We have one devotee, I don't want to get too name any names. There's one devotee I know who is very sincere, but he's not very, he hasn't got a lot of material sales ability. And when he meets people, it's a little awkward. So most people are like, you know. But then every now and then he meets someone and the person realizes that he's a saint. He'd been performing devotional service for many years, and he's very saintly, very serious, very sincere, and very honest. So when people meet him on the street, every now and then someone gets him. So he doesn't do anything for like half an hour or an hour, and then he meets someone, and they take a book and they give him like £100 or £50, and he meets two people in a day, and he does a couple hundred pounds and 20 books. So in that way, everyone's different, and Krishna will reciprocate with us all differently, because actually each one of us has a perfect, unique, special relationship with Krishna, which is different from anyone else's in any universe, any planet, any... Jai, Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda, Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Gaur Nitya Ki Jai. So we have, everyone has a perfect individual special relationship with Krishna. And it's described in the Shastra that Krishna actually wants something from us. We're all thinking we serve Krishna and Krishna has everything. But actually we have something, each one of us have something that Krishna wants. And this is a very nice meditation because sometimes we feel, you know, a little self-critical and a little negative and a little down on ourselves that we're not a pure devotee or that we're attached or, you know, so many things. But actually there's something Krishna wants from us that only we have. And that's that unique individual relationship. And Krishna actually wants that. It's described in Bhagavad Gita that the Supersoul is the silent witness, which is correct, Bhagavad Gita. But then later on in Bhagavatam, it's described that the Paramatma, and also in, early in the Bhagavatam as well, in the second chapter, that Krishna actually wants us back and he loves us much more than we love him right now anyway in our conditioned state. So this, but Krishna's actually incarnated in the third chapter of Bhagavatam, Krishna, the source of all incarnations, is written because at the end of the second chapter, Sukadeva Goswami explains that Krishna wants the conditioned souls back and he incarnates himself and he sends his representatives to inspire us to come back. Because he wants that a unique loving relationship that we have. He wants us. This is another nice point on Sankirtan, that if they get the impression that you want them to be happy, you want them to be peaceful, you want them to experience spiritual life. And even if they're not conscious of it, but if that's your mentality, then they feel it and they're happy to take. I mean, I've experienced so many times people have taken books and haven't really understood what's going on, what's happening, but they got the mood that I'm getting something nice. And if you can convey that message, then that's a very important part of book distribution. So this unique relationship we have with Krishna, Krishna actually wants. And he's not, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I now have told you everything, now do what you want. So this is our mood on Sankirtan and our mood in devotional service, that we learn everything, we present everything to the people, and then we give them the choice to give. And then this is actually a material sales technique. That you're detached when you ask someone to give. You do your best presentation, you present everything as nice as you can, you have the nicest relationship you can with the person that you're meeting, and then you say, just give what you can. And then if they say yes, you can say, you know, everyone's giving £50 today. But the initial, you present everything nicely, and you just leave them to make a choice. So then they feel inspired, they like it. It's like selling a car, you know, you show how beautiful the car is and you say, well, this is the price, this is how much it costs, this is how nice it is. And they make a decision. You can't get the hand out. You can't get the hand out of their pocket and get them to write the check and get them to sign it. You know, you have to. It's a bit old school, isn't it? Checks nowadays. Nothing's done with checks. I had a nice Sankirtan story I just heard yesterday. We're at Shimachalam in Germany. And they had a festival there. So some of the devotees were telling a story. So there's one devotee called Diva Shakti in Vrindavan. Do most devotees know her? So apparently she was a very enthusiastic, let's use the word enthusiastic, book distributor many years ago. And one time she met with this one man, small man, and she gave him a whole load of books. And she said, well, you give a donation. So he said, well, I haven't got much money. She said, well, just give everything you have. So he said, well, I've got my books stacked up like this. I can't get into my pocket. She says, okay, I'm going to your pocket. So she went into his trouser pocket, pulled out his wallet. And she didn't ask. She just took all the money out. And then just at that moment, oh, he said, oh, I need to leave me $2 for, I have to take the bus home. You know, just leave me a couple of dollars. And she took out, you know, 40, 50, I don't know, $100, something. Just took everything. And then the police came. Just at that moment. Owie, owie, owie. And the police came up to the man and said, what's going on? And the man said, well, I'm just buying, donating something to this nice lady. So the police said, are you sure that's what's happening? Because it looked like, because they were watching, are you sure? You didn't hear this, did you? Are you sure that's what's actually happening? And Divishak was like, and the man was like, well, I'm not quite sure what's happening, but it's okay. So she gave $2. She was very kind. She gave him $2 back. She's like, devotees are merciful, you know, they're kind. And then she put the wallet back in his pocket. And the police went. They were satisfied there was nothing going on. So the end of the story, which is a nice part, is that was Chandramouli Swami. So you don't know on Sankirtan who you're meeting. You might think, oh, it's some Kami, you know. And there's another one with another devotee. The same devotee told me this story. This one devotee wasn't really interested. He saw the devotees. He was reading the books. But he really wasn't so keen on the devotees. No offense meant. But he was said a little bit later, the devotees can be somewhat unusual sometimes in the way they behave and do things. Unusual being the euphemism in this case. So this devotee, this man, the devotee is distributing books, and this man comes up to him and says, you know, I'm reading your books, but I'm missing, you know, Canto 3, Chapter 4, Third Canto, Part 3. And the devotee said, what? He said, no, this is Divishakti again, met Divishakti. And she said, I haven't got that. I haven't got that particular volume. And he said, oh, no problem. I can't remember the exact story. It was just yesterday told. Anyway, it's something like this. Please forgive me if the details are slightly wrong. I know the punchline. So the devotee, somehow or other, Divishakti tells the man to go back to his flat with her and write a check out. I think she insisted you can't buy one book singly. You have to buy the whole set. There's another devotee like that who used to do that. So then they go back to the flat and he says, how much is the set? Foolish thing to say to a devotee. How much is not a word you use with devotees, especially Sankirtan devotees, enthusiastic Sankirtan devotees. So she said some ridiculous figure. He said something like, you know, $500 for the set, something like that. And she said like $6,000. Some huge figure. And he wrote a check out for the full amount that she asked for. And that was Devamrita Swami. Now, I reserve the right to the details, but that was a general gist. And it was a huge amount. It was a huge amount of money. So we don't know who we're meeting on Sankirtan. Jackie Chan was met by one devotee. And I was in Australia. There was one devotee there called Parama Karuna. And he keeps bumping into people. He's one of the biggest. In fact, I did Sankirtan with him in Australia, but also in England here in York, when York races became the Ascot races that year. And everything came up, you know, all the rich people came up. All the rich people from London came up to the north. And so I had it all worked out, you know, and make sure all my Sankirtan crew, no one was there except for me. Sorry. I had the whole place to myself, and I was thinking, great, I'm going to do the members' car park. It's going to be a clean-up. And then I saw this devotee there. I thought, what are you doing here? And he said, don't worry, Prabhu. I'm on a roll, can't talk to you now. So where are you from? Don't worry, Prabhu, I can't talk right now, I'm on a roll. Things are going well, I'll speak to you later. So I said, who's your guru? To try and get his attention. Oh, I know him. He's a friend of mine. What are you doing here? And then he stopped and said, okay, bro. So I was watching him and I was thinking, this guy's red hot. So I said, can we work together? And he said, yeah, no problem, because I was threatened to, you know. So he said, we work together. So his name's Paramakruna and Prabhu. And he was amazing, amazing. He was stopping people and getting huge donations all day. And so he keeps meeting these people in Australia. He bumped into Nicole Kidman. And he does these selfies, so he's putting these selfies on, and Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe, and anyway, so he keeps bumping in. So Sangatan is an amazing way to reach so many different people and have so much fun, you know. It may not be so good or so important in terms of Krishna consciousness to meet these people because it's only one person, but George Harrison provided this. So there's always that possibility that these people can help and become devotees. But so much fun for the devotees to meet, you know, this person, that person, have a selfie. So Sankirtan is actually a lot of fun. And devotional service, we're not devotees. This is back to Vinod Thakur. We're not devotees of detachment. We're devotees of Krishna. And by attaining and by cultivating that affection for Krishna, then that detachment comes. So our principle is very positive. We're personalist. We're not Mayavadis or impersonalists, that neti this, neti, 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 give up this, not this, not this, not this. But we can possibly engage in devotional service, in chanting the holy name, associating with devotees. And in that way, we can develop a taste for our devotional activities. And automatically, the word automatic means spontaneous in the dictionary, or unconsciously. So we're hoping it's the former rather than the latter, that we spontaneously become detached, actually. The more we have attraction for something, the more we get detached from something else. A young boy who loves his Tonka toy when he's 10, and then he loves his football when he's 13, he's not interested in his Tonka toy. And when he's 16, he might be interested in something else, and he loses his taste for football, or whatever. And men don't lose their taste for football, so that's probably the wrong example. But you understand the principle. So, 8:30. So, is there any questions or comments or corrections?